أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم بسنة من الدين. أما بعد، continuing our journey throughout the Quran where we left off yesterday, today we will be starting in Surah Hijr, Surah 15, and also Surah Nahl, Surah 16. Surah Hijr, the word meaning mountainous region, cliff area, and Nahl meaning the honey bee. And if we get chance, we'll get to do some of Surah Isra, which will be recited tomorrow, so we'll get ahead of Qari Sahib. That's the goal, inshallah, today. So that when you come here tomorrow in Taraweeh, you will have heard about the ayah, and then maybe you'll be able to taste something different, because you already know what it means tonight, and inshallah tomorrow you listen. Surah Hijr talks about the issue of Qawm of Shu'aib alayhi salam. They were in the mountainous area, and Hijr is, like I said, between two cliffs. It's a cliff area between two peaks of mountains. And most of the Mufassirin, their narrations are that it is in the area of Sham, Damascus, and that's why that area is so pivotal and important. Even as we speak today in 2004, people fight for the piece of land over there. And it's also the area very famous for Qawm of Thamud, meaning the where Salih alayhi salam was sent. So two of the prophets went in that area. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us again about one of the characteristics of the disbelievers in this surah, right at the beginning, right at the outset. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Alif Lam Ra, Tilka Ayatul Kitab wa Qur'anul Mubeen. These are the verses of this book, Kitab, and the Qur'an Mubeen, a very clear, evident Qur'an. رُبَمَا يُرَدُّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَوْ كَانُوا مُسْلِمِينَ رُبَمَا, Allah is saying the word رُبَمَا means it's a remorse, a guilt. رُبَمَا meaning in the sense that they will have any mayusi. And what's the word are we looking for? In Urdu, make gloves or... پشیمان انسان اپنے آپ پہ پشیمان ہوتے ہیں ندامت کا بھی آگے درجہ جو ہے the person is really remorse and regretting that I wish I was from amongst the Muslimin. That's what Allah is saying. رُبَنَا يَوَدُّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَوْ كَانُوا مُسْلِمِينَ. Those who have disbelieved, okay, those who did not fulfill the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh yes, Brother Shahar, like I said yesterday, I signed in with the duty of making the attendance sheet for this gathering. For those of you who did not listen yesterday, I just want to inform you that we are trying to get your name and phone numbers to get after you. But the purpose behind it, if you remember, on the first day of this Ramadan, I said that this year, from last Ramadan, should be something different, that our commitment level should be higher, in the sense that the purpose of getting this database is that after Ramadan, from Shawwal until next Ramadan, if we have some activities like this, it's easy to reach and contact you, rather than just announcing in Jummah. Brother Hanif does a remarkable, tremendous job in announcing, but still people don't show up at times in that activity. So in this way it's better that if people have signed up, and the sisters also, don't forget them, Brother Shahad, okay? It's not only brothers who come to the masjid, your sisters also. So like from last Ramadan until this Ramadan, any new activity we had was the Arabic classes. And now after this Ramadan, inshallah, we have a bigger goal, a bigger desire to have more activity in this center. And therefore we need to have a database of these people. All you need is just your name, phone number and email, that's all. Email is a good way to contact, and phone number, so that you will get the message whenever there's an activity based on the Quran. Because as you can see, in Ramadan time is very short and limited. Therefore, a tafsir of the Quran cannot be justified and to be justice. So one of the goal is that after Ramadan, we will have maybe something like a weekly tafsir of the Quran in a more detailed fashion, so that you can learn the treasures that we could not during these 28, 29 days because of the rapid pace. So therefore, please do give your information to Brother Shahab, and also pass one to the sisters, a sheet, inshallah. And Imam Ibn Kathir says in his narration, that this ayah is directing towards the disbelievers at two junctions. One of the narrations says that it is at the point when in the Qiyamah, when the decision will be made that the believers are going to Jannah and non-believers are going to Jahannam, at that time they will express their regret and remorse that, oh, I wish I was a Muslim. I would not have to go through this. The other narration says that this ayah is indicative of the feelings of the disbelievers at the time when the Muslimin, Muwahideen, will exit Jahannam and go to Jannah. Because remember, our aqidah is that whoever said La ilaha illallah faqad dakhala Jannah. Man qala La ilaha illallah faqad dakhala Jannah. Whoever said the kalma shahada on their tongue will not stay forever in Jahannam if they were an unsuccessful person. If they were not a good Muslim, if they were a weak Muslim and they had a lot of sins and their bad deeds, you know, overwhelmed their good deeds, so they were doomed for Jahannam, but they're not going to be there forever. They'll finish their prison sentence, you know, who knows, it could be a year, 10 years, 50 years, whatever Allah sanctions for each bad Muslim for that. So when they'll finish their sanctioned term and will be exiting in the courtesy of and the custody of the angels, at that time the kafirun, the disbelievers who are still burning in Jahannam, will express the desire. رُبَّنَا يَرَدُّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَوْ كَانُوا مُسْلِمِينَ. They'll say, oh, how I wish I would have been a Muslim. At least I would not be here forever. I could exit with them and go to Jannah. Granted that it is already a bad thing that they have burned, they have gone through their azab, but at least they're not there forever. They're exiting. So at that moment, the kafir is showing their remorse and guilt that, oh, I wish I was Muslim and I would have been saved today. And that's what Allah's mother is saying here. This is a Makki surah and it's been revealed to show the Quraysh, the pagans in Mecca, who are very adamant, stubborn and rigid in their audacity and rejection, that Allah's mother is giving an ayah that, look, before you have remorse and guilt up there, turn to the deen of Allah here. Then Allah's mother tells us in surah, in this surah also, verse number 9, إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَذَّلْنَا الذِّكْرَ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. Verily we, Allah, really, we are the ones who have revealed this book for you, the Quran, and we are going to protect it and guard it till the Day of Judgment. And we see today that it has been 1425 years, and alhamdulillah, we see that many challenges came forward to do tahrif, to do change, to bring another Quran, to bring another surah, but all of them failed and will fail, inshallah, till the Day of Judgment, because this is the wa'd, this is the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we learned in the Arabic grammar that inna over here is in terms of ta'kid also. And we see also in terms of Allah SWT tells us about some of the creations of the skies, meaning the stars, the planets, and the issues. وَلَكَ جَعَلْنَا فِي السَّمَاءِ بُرُوجًا وَزَيَّنَّهَا لِلنَّاظِرِينَ. We have made in the a lamp, burj is a lamp in the sky. Allah SWT referring to the moon as a lamp, because as even astronomers and scientists have proven today, that the moon does not have its own light, but it's merely a reflection of light. And the Quran gave this scientific information 1425 years ago, when there were no technological thing or telescopes or Hubble scope or something or satellite in the desert Arabian land. And people at that time were really baffled to know that this is what Allah is going to, the delicate ingredient of the thing. And Allah says, was the Yamnahli Nazareen, and we have beautified it for the onlookers. When an onlooker looks at, like today is a full moon night, when you look at the full moon, doesn't your heart get really exhilarated? You feel good about it. You don't feel sad or depressed or grieved when you see the moon. And that's what Allah is saying. Zayyanah, zaytazin means glamour and glitter and beautification. And that's the same word that is used for the woman, zina. The zina of woman needs to be protected and covered. That's why probably the moon doesn't stay full moon all the 30 days. Some days it gets hidden, then it has a birth, then it has, this is probably the hijab of the moon. Just a light point of view of looking at it. And then Allah says, وَحَفِظْنَاهَا مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. Here in this ayah, Allah is referring to these small stars that Allah has made that as a defense system device against the shayateen of jinn. As we know, this will come also in Surah Mulk, okay, Surah 68, the 29th para, 29 juz, the first surah, and the first few ayats, they talk about the stars and the planets, and over there Allah says that He has made these as a glittering glamour of the skies, and also as a defense system against the shayateen of the jinn. What the narration tells us is that every night the shayateen of the jinn, they try to penetrate the upper atmospheres of the heavens and skies to try to eavesdropping, to try to listen to the orders that Allah is giving to the angels for the following day. And so whenever they try to do this penetration, there are two angels guarding the skies, the sama, and they throw these stars as a stone or as a pebble to shoot them down, to shoot the jinns down so that they don't penetrate. It's like a wall, it's like a level, a blockade. And that is what Allah SWT is saying. And there is very much proven scientifically also, as astronomers will tell you, sometimes you see a shooting star. Where did this terminology come in astronomy, shooting star? It is from the same concept that Allah SWT is saying, that we have made that as a saving device from the shayateen. And yes, once in a while, maybe out of 1% or 0.5% does do penetrate, and they are the ones who bring it back to the shayateen of the ints and conspire with them to do all these negative things that we talked about many days ago in the beginning about, such as magic and sorcery and fortune telling and things like that. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us here, إِلَّا مَنِ اسْتَرَقَ السَّمْعَ فَأَتْبَعَهُ شَهَادٌ مُبِينٌ. Whoever tries to get through penetrate, the فَأَتْبَعَهُ, then follows it, a shahab. Star, shahab is a star, mubeen, that is very evident, pinpointed. It's like a laser-guided missile, with precision and perfection. And that's why at times, if you are sitting on a charpai, in a desert, in a village area, Gaumi, where the sky is very clear, and there's not hustle-bustle of the urban city life, you'll see sometimes, you notice, if it's a very clear, picturesque night, you'll see a rapid star going at times. And experience it sometimes if you do get a chance. I did once, went in Pakistan when we were in camping in a village area, and in the night we just were watching, and it was amazing how many stars were moving with a very rapid pace. And that's what Allah tells us over here. Then the qissa of Adam alayhi salam and Shaitan, Iblis comes, which we already discussed, if you remember before. It's the same thing about the Malaika making sujood to him, and then he disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he didn't make sujood, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him respite and chance. And we already know that is the issue of the war between Shaitan, Iblis, and insan, Adam. Here I would like to point, over here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word Iblis, and the word Shaitan, I want to just clarify some definition about it, that from the linguistic Arabic point of view, to give us an idea of who is Shaitan, who is Iblis, and what does he strive to do us. As we know in Arabic language, linguistically, those who are students of Arabic language, that every word comes from three root letters, which we call a thulathi, or very few of them come from rubai, four root letters. Shaitan comes from the three root letters of sheen, Ta and Noon, Shatana, and from it comes Shaitan. The word Shatana itself means to turn away someone, to move them away, and in the sense that it is Ba'udah, that's the literal one of the meanings, to make someone far away from Allah SWT. That's why when we sin or when we make a mistake or something, we make Tawbah. Taba yatubu in Arabic linguistically means to turn, as if implying that when we make a mistake or shortcoming or fault or something, we have turned away from the path of Allah, from the direction of Allah. We're not facing Allah SWT. Therefore, we have to make tawbah and come back to the direction of Allah SWT. That's for Shaitan. Amma, Iblis comes from the four root letters of Ablasa. Alif, Ba, Lam, Sin. Ablasa. Ablasa literally translated means in Arabic language to frustrate someone, to make them depressed and grieved and sorrow, and make them so frustrated that they give up hope. That's why, if you remember yesterday, we said in Surah Yusuf, Allah SWT revealed that ayah where Yaqub alayhi salam tells his brother, إِنَّهُ لَا يَيْأَسُ مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمَ الْكَافِرِينَ, that no one despairs and gives up hope from the mercy of Allah, from the forgiveness of Allah, except the kafirun, because they don't believe in Allah SWT. And for us, we believe in Allah SWT, we never despair, we never surrender, we never give up, but that's it, this is the end of life, and we have frustration and pessimism. No, we have optimism, and we have productivity, we have a positive attitude. And that's why Iblis, having this linguistic definition, his goal is to frustrate us, to make us grieved and sorrow. Oh, you're bad now, you have sinned, you are mistaken, you're far away from Allah, Allah will not forgive you. Now you're in the grift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He will punish you and use His authority. So these negative mindset whispers from shaitan further push us away from Allah rather than coming closer. Whereas Allah says that the moment His slaves make a sin or any mistake or shortcoming, Allah is in intizar waiting when will this slave of mine turn to Allah, repent, and make rujoo with Allah, motivation towards Allah. Then Allah tells us about also a very special point regarding shaitan and the battle with shaitan, that إِنَّ عِبَادِي لَيْسَ لَكَ عَلَيْهِمْ سُلْطَانٍ إِلَّا مَنِ اتَّبَعَكَ مِنَ الْغَاوِينَ. Allah is addressing the shaitan saying that, look, you will have no authority over my slaves, meaning slaves of Allah, except إِلَّا مَنِ اتَّبَعَكَ مِنَ الْغَاوِينَ, except the one who follows you from the disobeyers, from the rejectors. Yesterday in Surah Ibrahim, verse number 23, we took that ayah where shaitan will tell us on the Day of Judgment that I'm not your friend, I only invited you and you listened to my da'wah and I had no authority over you. مَا لِيَ عَلَيْكَ سُلْطَانٍ. I didn't have any authority, power over you to hypnotize you. Like sometimes people say, I was overpowered by shaitan, I was hypnotized by shaitan. Shaitan has no power. Allah is saying over here that shaitan has no power, has no authority above us. It is we who become weak and our immune system diminishes and then we become vulnerable to his attack. So if we boost our immune system and keep it intact and strong, then he will not have attack on us. And what is our immune system? Ikhlas lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. Purity and sincerity to Allah. Whatever we do, khalisan lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. If this ikhlas becomes 99.99%, then there means there is some deficiency. Allah wants 100%. That's it. Wants 100%, not even a 0.0001% for anything else. So if we keep this ikhlas in our soul, in our nafs, in our heart, in our mind, then we have this immune system against shaitan. And that's what Allah tells us here. And then He tells us, وَإِنَّ جَهَنَّمَ لَمَوْعِدُهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. Allah says that those who do obey you, O shaitan, for them is Jahannam the clear promise for them. Guaranteed. And then Allah says, what is Jahannam? لَهَا سَبْعَةُ أَبْوَابٍ لِكُلِّ بَابٍ مِنْهُمْ جُزْءٌ مَقْسُومٌ. There are seven doors of Jahannam, or seven levels of Jahannam. And for each level and door, there are fixed portion people. As Imam Kathir and Qurtubi and Alusi and all the Mufassirin have said in their Tafasir about these seven doors, seven bab of Jahannam, the first one, as they say, is known as Jahannam itself. As you know, Jahannam has many different names, which has also come in the Quran. The first level, first bab is Jahannam, which will be for the Muwahideen or Muslimin. Those who are on the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for them is the first level of Jahannam. It's true that they said the Shahada, and because of them saying the Shahada, Allah has given them some reprieve, some alleviation in a sense to keep them on the first level. And remember, who comes on the bottom level. The second one is known as Lava. Allah said that in the Quran also, I believe in Surah Haqqa, إِنَّهُ Lava. That's the second level of Jahannam, in which will be the Qawm of Bani Israel, Yahud. Again, if you are writing, I'll repeat again. First one is Jahannam. Okay, which is for Muwahideen, Muslimin. Second level is Lava, which is for the Yahud. The third level is Al-Hutama. وَمَا أَضْرَاكَ مَا الْحُتَمَ نَارُ اللَّهِ مُوْقَدَ, as Allah says in the Quran. So the third level is Hutama, and that is for the Nasar, the Christians. And then the fourth level is known as As-Sa'ir. Okay, As-Sa'ir is for the Sabi'een. As-Sabi'een were those who used to worship planets and stars, okay, astronomical things. And then we have the fifth level known as Saqr. مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي Saqr. As Allah says in Surah Qiyamah, about Jahannam, one of the names is, oh, that's the level, the fifth level is Saqr. In it are Majus, people who were in Persia, fire worshippers. The way they even do today, they have a well, on the well they have sticks and everything, and they have fire. And there's a special, like an altar boy in the church, there's a special boy whose job is to keep making sure that the fire is running all the time. And they come and they make sujood to the fire. Fire is their god, their elect. See how beauty, look at the beauty of Tawheed. It gives you intellectualism, gives you brains. I mean, you might say, what is this foolishness? You know, making sujood to fire. And then they take that as their supreme thing. And there are some who worship trees, statues, idols. So Tawheed really relieves a person. It enlightens a person and makes them think that what are you worshipping? You are the ass. You are the best of creation of Allah, so you better be worshipping the best, Allah. You can't worship something that is that. So then we have the fifth one is the sixth one is Jahim, and that is for the Mushrikun, those who are polytheists, who worship more than one god, more than one deities. And last but not the least, the seventh level and seventh one is Al-Hawiyah. Al-Hawiyah is for, we all know, they're very famous people. Because even munafiqeen, hypocrites. Why? Because in Surah Nisa, Allah says, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ. Verily, indeed, certainly the munafiqeen are in the lowest level of Nar, which is known as Al-Hawiyah, and they will be there. Meaning they are worse off than the previous five people. Meaning the Jews, the Christians, the star worshippers, the fire worshippers. And they are worse. Munafiqeen are worse than polytheists. At least a polytheist says, I worship more than one God. But this guy or woman, munafiq, will say, oh, no, I believe in Allah. I worship Allah. But in their heart, they have a disease, malaise, which is hypocrisy, nifaq. Then Allah also tells us, regarding, right after talking about Jahannam, then talks about Jannah. إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي جَنَّاتٍ وَعَيُونَ. Verily, the muttaqi people, the pious, virtuous people, will be in Jannah and in rivers, وَعَيُونَ. And what is for them? إِدْخُلُوهَ بِسَلَامٍ آمِنِينَ. O you muttaqi people, enter the Jannah بِسَلَامٍ, with peace and tranquility and serenity. And then the very, very pivotal ayah, which is the next one, Allah SWT tells us the criterion for people to go to Jannah is here. وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غِلٍّ إِخْوَانٍ عَلَى سُرُرٍ مُتَقَابِلِينَ لَا يَمَصُّهُمْ فِيهَا نَصَبٌ وَمَا هُمْ مِنْهَا بِمُخْرِجِينَ. Allah SWT is telling us here, and the Mufassirun have done tafsir of this ayah, saying that once all the Jannati people are decided, and as they come to the door of Jannah, before they enter Jannah, Allah SWT will order the angels over there at the doors to cleanse the heart of these believers. That's what Allah SWT says. وَنَزَعْنَا. And nazah means to erase, wipe off. Safaitan. Supali. Rajarji. Kijin man nikalde. وَنَذَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غِلٍ. غِلٍ, the word غَى and لَام, غِلٍ means literally like a stain, dhabba, stain. And what is the stain is talking about here? It's talking about the stain of envy, jealousy, hatred, enmity, and hasad, hirs, this thing, and bughz, having a grudge. Fine, someone might have forgiven each other. They say, oh gee, assalamu alaikum wa sallam, now we are forgiven, I hold nothing against you. They might have said on the tongue, but in their heart, they hold it, and they die with it. And then they qualify to go to Jannah. But before they enter the door of Jannah, Allah will order all angels to go through all the human beings, or who are Jannati, to wipe off this dhabba, this spot or stain of grudge, which they might have held in the dunya. What a beautiful ayah, implying to us that if you want to be qualified direct to Jannah, cleanse your heart. Don't hold grudges. Don't hold back anything. Don't keep anything in your heart. Let it out. Somebody hurt you, somebody irritated you, somebody annoyed you, somebody upset you, go and tell them. Talk it over. Like they say in this country, you and I need to talk. We have a lot of things. We need to pick a bone. What are these slogans? They're coming from the same thing that, look, I have something in my heart, I need to get over it. See, you have to appreciate what is good within the society. There's one thing that is good, that they don't want to, whenever there's a problem, whether it's with the boss, or with the manager, supervisor at work, or with the teacher, or your friend or colleague, within the society that we're saying, even though that they're not a Tawheed society, but this is one thing, a good aspect of it, that they always want to talk it over. And where will they talk it over? Starbucks, Dunkin' Donuts, McDonald's, Taco Bell, you know, it's good because you eat and you clean. You eat and you clean. So Allah SWT here is saying that before these people enter Jannah, their hearts will be cleansed. Then Allah SWT mentions about Lut alayhi salam. We already mentioned that story before. It's being repeated over here. And also mentions about the people of Ad. And also talks about how our attitude should be towards the believers. Allah SWT says, وَقْفِذْ جَنَاحَكَ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. In verse number 88 in Surah Hijr. Verse 88, Allah SWT is ordering the Prophet ﷺ, and then indirectly to all of us, وَخْفِذْ جَنَاحَكَ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ Meaning our attitude to our own fellow brothers and sisters in Islam should be that if we were to have wings, it's an isti'ara. Isti'ara means metaphoric expression. Allah is using a metaphor, a simile, a parable for us to make us understand that if we as human beings were to have wings, we need to, you know, we need to put those wings down in front of believers. And what is that gesture? Whenever a bird with a wing puts the wings down, lays it down, it's an implication that they have nothing in their heart. They're in true friendship. They're in true attachment with them. And that is what Allah SWT is saying, that don't deal roughly, rudely, rigidly, arrogantly, stubbornly with your fellow Muslim brothers and sisters. Rather, waqfid, lower your wings in front of the believers. Meaning have humility, humbleness. Have a open heart, big heart, have patience and perseverance. Don't be a very picky person, picking on every petty little issues when it comes to your own Muslim folk. That is what Allah is saying. As sometimes it happens between believers, that it was a small thing, it like a power banana. Khoza power nikla chua. Where the weeds come from? Same thing. That there was nothing between these two brothers and two sisters, but they just fought over it for, and now they're not talking to each other, even in Eid. How rigid can the heart become? You know, our heart is so soft that it can't be broken. That one person wants to say Eid Mubarak, wants to remove his heart's grievances, wants to remove his heart's complaints. And Allah is saying, "Waqfid janahaka lil-mu'minin." Lower your wings. Lowering your wings is a metaphoric expression to show that you want to be humble. If somebody gives you, if somebody initiates a good gesture towards you, grab on it. That's a good thing. Rather than giving them a flat face in the face that, it happens. It's amazing. And really, our mind gets stunned. What kind of believer is he or she who does this attitude? Ki ji, agla banda aapse maafi maang raha hai. Aapse aajzi kar raha hai. Agla banda chah raha hai ki ji, mel milaap ho jaye, jod tod ho jaye, kuch ho jaye. And this person is so strict, nahi ji. ऊपर ही जाके फैसला होगा, अल्लाह ताला फैसला करेगा। अल्लाह ताला ने आपको दिल भी दिया है, अकल भी दी है। अल्लाह ताला ने आपको ये भी कहा है कि मैं तुम्हें पकड़ूंगा उस दिन। जो लोग माफी नहीं करते दूसरों को और जो लोग माफ करके भी रंजिशे रखते हैं दिल में, उनके लिए सख्त तरीन पकड़ है कयामत के रोज। अल्लाह ताला यही कह रहे हैं कि जी यहां जान लो, जो कुछ सुना सफाई करना है यही करो। Why do we say when we're going for hajj or when we're going for a long trip in anywhere, we say जी कोई खता गुना माफ कोई गलती माफ why because you want to leave this dunya without any pain and grief you don't want to leave this dunya with people having grudges in their heart aur jo chalayo to badbakh ho aisa ye waisa waisa no leave this dunya without having anything in anybody's heart taki har banda har shakhs ye yaad kare ki kya momin kya mominat har insaan aur ye aapke piche mein isare sawab mein count hota hai This is like a ajr for you when somebody remembers you in good way. But if you left behind in this dunya, in the hearts of people, grudges, then this is very bad. And that's what Allah SWT is saying here. And then furthermore, at the end, Allah SWT says, وَلَقَدْ نَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ يَدِّيقُ صَدْرُكَ بِمَا يَقُولُونَ فَصَبَّ بِحَمْدَ رَبِّكَ كُنْ مِنَ السَّاجِدِينَ وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيكَ الْيَقِينَ The last three verses of Surah Hijr, Allah SWT is addressing the Prophet ﷺ. He's saying that I know as your Rabb, نَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ يَذِيقُ صَدُقَ بِمَا يَقُلُونَ I know that it irritates your sadr, your chest, you have chest and heart pain on the basis of what these Quraysh and the pagan Arabs are saying in Mecca to you. The verbal torture, the physical torture, the facial expression torture, all of that Allah is taking account of and acknowledging over here. But what does Allah tell the remedy, the cure? And यहाँ पे हमारे लिए इब्रतनाक मैसेज है There is a very wisdom filled lesson for us, me and you, that today, if we fulfill our commandments of deen, and somebody, even our relatives, even our loved ones, or our friends, attack us verbally and torture us and do things that irritates us, what should be our cure, our medicine? What should be our remedy? And that's what Allah says in verse 98, the second last verse in this ayah, فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَكُمْ مِنَ السَّاجِدِينَ that jab dil mein takleef ho dil mein chubhan ho logi takleef badh gayi ho kaando pe jo hai uthai nahi ja raha to do cheez tasbeeh kasal se kar fasabbih bihamdi rabbika apne rab ki sana apne rab ki hamd badha do tez kar do itna kar do ki aankhon ke jo samandar hai wo khatam bhi ho jaye phir bhi banda wahi ka wahi leta rahe wa kun minas sajidin Two things Allah was saying. That increase your tasbih, increase the glorification of Allah, have the ajizi, have the commotion and devotion towards Allah, and where should you have it? In sujood. وَكُمْ مِنَ السَّاجِدِينَ Allah is addressing His Prophet, a Prophet of Allah, to be in sujood. When there is taklif, when there is ranjish, when there is gham, when there is huzn, when there is grief, when there is sorrow. So where do you and I stand? We are nowhere compared to the Prophet. So this ayah is a big medicine, remedy. ہمارے آسانیات ہوتے ہیں, مشاکل آتے ہیں, مصیبت ہوتے ہیں, ایکسیڈنٹ ہوتے ہیں, یہ چیزیں. جب بھی انسان تکلیف میں, غم میں, اس میں مبتلا ہو, فَصَبِّ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَكُمْ مِنَ السَّاجِدِينَ, فوراً تسبیح میں لگ جائے, ذکر میں لگ جائے, ذکر الہی میں لگ جائے, اپنے عشق الہی کو اور بڑھا لے دل میں, اور کثرت سجود. سجود کے یہاں علماء فرماتے ہیں دو معنی. ایک تو یہ کہ صرف انسان سجدے میں گر جائے, آپ وہ بھی جائز ہے کہ آپ سجدے میں چلے جائیں, سجدے میں رہ کے جتنا زار و قطار رون ہے اپنے دل کی بڑھاس میں جو بھی ہے. اور دوسرا معنی یہ بھی ہوتا ہے کہ آپ نوافل کثرت سے پڑھیں, دو رکعت کر کے پڑھیں, تو وہ بھی سجدے میں آتا ہے. تو اولین تو یہ کہ نوافل بھی ہو جائے تو وہ کام ہو جائے, اور ایسا اگر صرف سجدے میں جانے کی خواہش ہو رہی ہے انسان کی تو اس میں کوئی ممانعت نہیں ہے, علماء کی اجازت ہے. دین اللہ سبحانہ اسٹارٹس ود سورہ النحل.